These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smit out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scaz, the rugby.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Scars and The Rugby, brought to you by our friends at Vodafone. A huge week of rugby, two sensational one-point games, heartbreak for England in the Men's Rugby World Cup, losing out to the Springboks, and France took revenge for their loss against the Black Ferns last year and pipped them by a point in the first round of WXV1 world-class rugby. Absolutely everywhere you look. And Scaz, I need to have the humble pie right here that I thought I was going to have for the first 78 minutes of South Africa, England, because I could just see this going so badly for South Africa. And last week I did say South Africa by a lot, caps, like three scores. I was wrong.
You were very wrong. And I'm glad you brought that up because I've sent you a voice note about it in the week. But yeah, I mean, it was an amazing game. I think Friday night obviously was a bit more of a damp squib in terms of the result and how the game went. But I think for England, just super proud of how they fronted up. I think if we're all honest, we perhaps didn't think genuinely that we'd ever have a thought we might make the final. And at points in that game, I was living in full hope. We just fell short, but an amazing final coming up this weekend. So really looking forward to that.
As you can tell, I have new wallpaper and a completely different backdrop. If you're watching, if you're listening and you hear lots of Parisian sirens, I wasn't supposed to still be in France, but someone relieved me of my passport and a few other items. And so it's a terrible week to be an undocumented African in Paris. I mean, there's genuinely nothing to do here at the moment. It's not like a lot of my people aren't flying into the city. So I've basically just been marooned here. I have no choice but to make the most of it.
Have you managed to get yourself a finals ticket yet?
That is pending. Okay. That is pending. I don't have tickets for the final just yet. The situation is developing by the hour. I am on that ticket resale portal. Richard's on it. I've thrown out lines to everybody I know. I'm sure one way or another it's going to come through for me. It's been another big week for our Mo, who gets to start in the number 9 jerseys. She was back in action against the Wallaroos as the Red Roses got their WXV1 campaign off the ground in some style. A new coach also cited all over the place there. We're going to chat about that in more detail in a bit. Last week, we focused on Tier 2 with Babalwa Lacha in South Africa. You can understand why people would follow her into battle because she's just so inspirational. But I loved her calling herself a melanated queen when I asked why they were given umbrellas. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the umbrellas that they were given at the captain's photo call in Cape Town was hysterical. And she said, you know, like, obviously someone was worried that maybe the Scottish girls would get sunburned. Now, this week we are talking to two people who would probably have grabbed the umbrellas and made the most of it. They are from a team who've been worried about the heat over in Dubai. A couple of Irish stalwarts, Ireland's co-captains, Sam Monaghan and Adele McMahon. Welcome. How hot is it really, guys?
It is hot. You know, Mo actually said to me, she was like, I can't believe that heat is wasted on you Irish. I was like...
I was like, no one wants this piece.
She was like, you're probably not even getting tanned. I was like, rude.
Yeah, it's hot. We were actually chatting about the first week or even that first day when we arrived. You had a...
I had a little niggle before we left. So we flew on the Friday, got in, got to bed about 3 a.m. And they said, I knew I had to do like a run the next day. So there was like 5 or 6 of us that had to do that run on the Saturday. And as we came out of the hotel, like, there's aircon blowing, like, by the front door. So we got on the bus and I was like, oh, yeah, this is grand. Like, I can do this. I'll be fine. I'm tired, but we'll get through it. So we went down, like, was by the water, this outdoor gym, looked phenomenal. Yeah, class, yeah. And then I stepped off the bus and just went, okay, this is going to be tough. We were training on this, like, AstroTurf. So, you know, the Astro gets really hot, like, even way worse than grass. It was just, like, absorbing all this heat. And my feet were burning. I couldn't breathe. Like, I turned to one of the girls and I was just like, oh my God, like, how are we going to do this? It was 42 degrees. It was like the middle of the day. And then the rest of the girls had jumped on the bus after, so we were running for the first hour and then they were gymming for the second hour altogether. And I was like, as I was coming from my run, I was like, right, just act. act normal, act like you were fine. Don't want to make anyone feel like it's, you know, we're going to be fine.
They did and the exact opposite.
I was like, you know, when your eyes are like you're almost like this and your face is blotchy and they were like, oh my God. But yeah, I think they got a bit of a shock on the Monday then when we had our first session.
Yeah, so we did a gym session and even like just going through the mobility part of it, everyone was in beads of sweat, like looking for the shade on the outside in the gym. And it's just, yeah, it was, that first session was a real...
Definitely built some resilience within. But like we'd a couple of people like close to pass out. We had these like kiddie pools, like a contingency plan in case anyone like was close to passing out. And there was like people in the kiddie pools had like
a paddling
blood
pool.
Pressure. It was like a battlefield. It was mad. But then the Tuesday was fine.
Yeah, we got over very quickly. But yeah, we look funny. I think the rest of the teams who are watching us would be going one paddle pool each as we head off into the dressing rooms every day. Like, and the rest of the teams are looking at us like
what are the Irish doing at these kiddie pools?
But yeah, they've been lifesavers, to be honest. So we'll keep bringing them.
But yeah, and then it definitely benefited. Like, we were training in the thick of the day. Yeah. And then that first game, we were like, oh, wow, this is
fine.
It does cool down quite a bit. It was still like 36, 37.
Yeah, but it didn't feel half as bad as what the daytime had been. Yeah, so that's the heat in Dubai.
We actually had these really cool, like, cooling vests. So there's, like, you put this vest on.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, gel in the middle. And they put them in the freezer the night before so you can warm up so it cools your body temperature. They've been
really
lifesavers
as well.
Bit spoiled.
Maybe first world, all of this stuff. I was going to say, where I'm from, when it's 42, you just, like, hope that it's going to end quickly. That's pretty much the best hope you have. Talk to me about this experience. So the last time we saw you, Sam, you were having a few ciders at the end of the Prem final in Gloucester, and Adele, you were playing for Chiefs. But you two have been teammates before at Wasps. So you know each other pretty well, but there's tons of history here on and off the pitch. What is co-captaincy being like?
Yeah, good,
it's good.
Good.
Like, we get on so well as friends, and we really like always have like bounced off each other. We think in a similar way. Like, I think we've the confidence if one of us makes a decision, the other one backs it up. You know what I mean? So, and that it kind of takes the pressure off that it's spread over the both of us.
Yeah, I think we're quite good at challenging each other as well, being devil's advocate.
She's better at it than I am.
certain scenarios. So yeah, we're not afraid to push each other's, I suppose, conversations as well, which is really helpful, to be honest, because we've just such a good relationship as friends that's been a lot easier. And we don't take anything personally. We know it's for the team or for the environment. So it's, we've had a bit of crack as well, in fairness. I don't think I've ever smiled as much walking out for an anthem or it's all serious or whatever, whereas the two of us just chilling.
The last one we were like, oh my God, imagine the cameraman fell. And then like we burst out laughing and he got the shot of it. And I was like, if only he knew what we were laughing about.
But yeah, so it's been really good actually.
Do you guys pick up like different roles? So is one of you good cop, bad cop? Does one of you do the team talk? Does one of you pick the girls up? Like, have you kind of almost like designated different roles, or do you just kind of muck in with whatever?
Bad cop is probably me on pitch. Sam probably picks up the good
off pitch
role.
stuff.
And it sometimes it switches, to be fair, just kind of depending on again like what the topic might be, and maybe actually Sam will take it and I'll be the good cop.
How would you describe each other? Like, Adele, what kind of captain is Sam?
Sam's a very like passionate captain for sure. A lot of feelings, I think. and very like Sam's action more than you speak really well, as in fairness, like I think I've actually kind of pushed that to Sam, being like, I give her the first pre-match speech, because I was like, you take this, I can't, like, and it's a real like heartbeat of the team. And yeah, she's just a really passionate leader. She's an old softie as well at times. Like, I've known Sam for quite a long time as well, and I'm like, oh, she just needs a little bit of, leave her alone for she's an easily poking the bear at times.
Depend on what mood I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make Adele the analytical one? The calm head?
Yes, 100%. She's so passionate, though. She leads from the front. Like, you see it in the way she plays. But when you said that, well, Edel means noble in Afrikaans, I was like, she's noble. Like, if you have a problem, she is getting to the root of it. She's fixing it and she's coming to you with a solution. I think she's everyone's kind of counselor one-to-one in here. But yeah, if you have a problem, go to Tricky. She'll sort it out.
Can we talk about the nickname Tricky? Because everybody calls it you. Like, yeah. Where's it come from? What does it mean?
Yeah, it's really funny because, like, I didn't expect the name to carry over the waters when I moved to England to play in the Premiership, but it has. A first senior cap for Galwegians, just a club at home, and like classic Ireland players. Like, I was playing football, Gaelic football, so all I had was like Clare gear, like O'Neill shorts, anyone who's Irish will understand. So like no rugby kit, so I'm wearing this football kit, totally inappropriate as well for rugby. So yeah, I did a week of training, played, I believe it was Blackrock, an away game, and was one of three caps, new caps for an away match, so tradition, sing the song. And like all I knew was, I used to play SingStar and I always rap It's Tricky, so I knew the words off from start to finish. So I decided that I was going to do It's Tricky. And they just loved it, like, cause I just went and gave it absolute socks. Sang it another two times on the way down from Dublin, and then the following Tuesday training, it was, what's that Tricky girl's name? Because it wasn't, I'd been the footballer before, but now it turned into Tricky, and it actually just stuck for, it's like 10 years now I've been called Tricky.
So the girls did us over Saturday night. You know, so we had a couple of new caps Saturday night, Fiona
and Clara
Barrett. And we were like, okay, that's great, right, bedtime. And then Maeve Ogg stands up and she was like, we've got someone else that needs to sing.
We're all
like, our captains need to sing their new cap songs. And I was like, no. And I stupidly made the mistake of letting Tricky go first and the room erupted. And I was like, I should have warmed up into this one.
I gave her the opportunity. I was like, you're going to want to go first.
I was like mid bite of my dinner. I was a pudding or something. Whatever. And I was like,
yeah. No, yeah. Take it away. Yeah. The girls were, it was funny because I feel like I haven't sang it in so long in an Irish camp. It's been quite a while since I've been capped for Ireland. But even that first week, I think the first three caps that I had, I had to sing it because there was someone new on the bus and they wanted me to sing It's Tricky again. So the younger girls all got a taste of where the name Tricky came from. I was veins popping out of my head and everything. Just so out of breath.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Sam, what did you sing? How did you follow it?
Oh, I sang Wild Rover. You know the Irish song?
Classic.
Yeah. It did. It went up there.
Yeah, like, sorry.
I have to say, the Irish fans who were still in Paris over the weekend were still singing. Like, I heard Fields of Athenry. People are not shutting up. The French are singing their anthem. No one's holding back on the singing opportunities. And I am absolutely here for all of them. Zombie.
Yes,
I was just about to say.
There has to be zombies in there.
Do you guys sing this at the rugby all the time in Ireland? Or is this just a 23 thing?
This is a staple song in Ireland. Yeah. It's about the troubles. So between Northern Ireland and Ireland. Yeah, I think it's just been adopted for rugby, but it's Irish people like sing it all the time. Yeah. Any house party at 3 a.m. Yeah. A zombie will come on.
I just love that we've basically gone and turned it into Rasi, Rasi, just to irritate people. I mean, you literally couldn't have.
That's awful, Elmer.
I mean,
that's awful.
It's the adoption and the fact that we'll just grab it and take whatever we can find along the way and turn it into an Afrikaans word somehow is small miracle.
I'm on the Irish side here.
Quick change.
Blood boiling here.
Let's just talk about the rugby for 5 minutes, because that's actually why we're here. A couple of games you guys have played now. Second victory, you've got 10 points in the can, bonus points. What's the feeling like in camp? I mean, you didn't come into this expecting very closely competitive games because you guys have so much more game time generally in a year. But what have you learned from the experience?
I think it's an opportunity definitely like to grow and develop our squad and build morale coming off the back of the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And like, as we said, like we can only play what's in front of us at the minute. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to build momentum going into towards Six Nations and developing our squad. So them training camps before Six Nations, you know, we've more experience and it's more competitive for spots.
Yeah, it's kind of like filtering out the groundwork and seeing what's actually working for us in training, getting those reviews in so that we're heading into the Six Nations almost fully ready to go. That's been a really good opportunity that this tour has allowed for that. And like Sam said, with the newer girls coming in, different combos. But even ourselves, like, we're not even that experienced in terms of cap numbers as well. So it's just blending with the team, finding out how we work with coaches, what systems work, how reviews work for us, how players learn on the pitch and that. So it's been probably taking the good out of it, something that we've probably needed to do, especially with new coaching coming in and that.
And we've spoken about it. We have a realistic point of where we are at the minute. You know, we know we're not competing against tier one and tier two teams, but it is building that momentum and
confidence.
Yeah. And it's a great environment for like new caps to come into, because I think my first experience was Parma, like when we didn't qualify for the World Cup. So it's nice that these new players have a positive experience. Yeah.
Tours are different as well for that, aren't they? I think it's always a really nice environment to actually physically go away with the group to build that. I was just going to ask, how is the new coaching setup or the new coach? Obviously, Scott Beeman's someone I know pretty well. I also saw a video of Briggsy getting stuck into the backs the other day on Instagram. It looks like it's clearly going very well. But how's Scott settled in?
Yeah, he's slotting quite seamlessly, in fairness, and he's brought really good energy. Like even as a staff, how they work together is really cool to see that they get on very well, and that translates with how they interact with us and how we interact with them. And
we found him very open and transparent. He's like, you can have them honest conversations with him, like whether it be, you know, in the hallway, you know, outside the team room. Like, he's just been so transparent, I thought, and like, kind of like of reality of like where you're at as a player and good feedback. I think the training idea he's brought has been very good. Like, it's translated to the pitch of what we're trying to do and how we're going about and bringing that competitive nature that we have now to our training.
Has he got involved in any like small sided games or like cricket games or anything? Because he always used to be so competitive.
Yeah, sometimes the backs are playing like cricket or something. We're doing like line out walkthroughs.
What's going on here? Yeah, our backs are in early because the forwards have other bits to get done, line outs, and we're like, oh yeah, that's the usual there. Yeah, though they are actually, they're quite competitive. We're heading off to golf now later on.
Top golf.
So, yeah. So I think there's definitely going to be who's going to score the most. Yeah.
You've touched on the young players and the low numbers in terms of caps that you've got in this group. And this is obviously off the back of a very turbulent time, to put it lightly, in Irish women's rugby. Does this feel like a new dawn?
Yeah, it does. Our enthusiasm on and off the pitches, we're very connected. Like, before, I hate to say it, but you would see like subgroups, or maybe it's harder when you're losing. It always is. It's that environment. Like, you want to be better. We are competitive in that sense, and when you're losing, it's hard, it's frustrating. And then it is easier in this environment to connect. But we have, like, the younger players have brought a new freshness as well as Scott, and we've done a lot of work with Sean. He's a leadership and culture guide that we have, and we had a few culture days before we went into the training, which I thought was very important for us to connect as a squad again.
The main thing for me is the ability that we have as players to feel quite confident, to have very honest conversations, and in a feedback loop system that if we're seeing things that we would like change, or maybe something that's not working, or things that are working really well, everyone feels very confident to actually to go to someone about it and air those concerns or air those let's keep doing these kind of things. So I think that's probably the biggest change that we felt coming into this campaign, and like, that's just a lot of groundwork that Sean has done, and that Scott's brought in that kind of, I suppose, environment with him as well.
How much are you guys looking at WXV2 and kind of thinking, oh, I wish we were in Cape Town, we deserve to be in Cape Town, like we're that quality at the moment?
Yeah, we have watched a few games, and I definitely think, because we played, I know it's very different, but we trained against Scotland and USA running up to them games, and you know, there were so many positives coming out of that.
Yeah, we were like, oh, we're not actually in a bad spot here, and knowing that these guys were going off to play WXV2, we were like, God, actually, you know, maybe we would have had a good crack at that. But again, like we were saying, it's just honest, the harsh reality is that we weren't there, and that we need to win this competition so that we are there next year. So, yeah, like definitely it's something that we're looking at, but also like knowing a bit confident, kind of going, okay, yeah, actually we can hang with those teams and we can compete with those teams. So it just kind of gives us more motivation to make sure that we finish top in this WXV3.
Yeah. And Spain at the moment ranked 12th. You guys are ranked 10th. And you're playing them and there's this qualification opportunity on the line. So that game at the moment, they have 9 pool points and you've got 10. I mean, you literally couldn't ask for a better carrot to be chasing. Like that's a great reward right there on the horizon.
Yeah, it's a final, basically. It doesn't matter that they're on 9 or that we're on 10. We have to win it anyways. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity to see how we kind of face up against Spain, because they've had 2 really good games and they're probably a bit off Fiji when Fiji were favourites. Mm-hmm. I think we've been looking at Spain kind of going, it's going to be tough. Yeah.
This week we were like focusing on us. So what can we do better? Trying to be better than we were the week before. So Spain are a good side. Like they will go after the breakdown. We know that, but our focus on us and how we control the game, playing in the right areas of the pitch.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fight. Like even like Colombia, I was shattered after that game. They honestly did not stop. Like vicious. Like they were like, they kept going. And you know what I loved about it? They celebrated everything.
Everything.
Like small wins. Like they just, a big tackle. Yeah, they loved, like they were just
I
such.
I think it was like I remember looking up the clock and it was like 75th minute and they were doing their kickoff. We were receiving and I was like, they're going for this.
Like, they were like running with the ball and I was like, we're going again.
Yeah, so I think we're definitely prepared for a battle at the weekend, because there's a lot at stake for both teams as well. I know Spain desperately want to get out of WXV3 as well. So
I bumped into Bimba in the corridor today, and like the first 2 weeks we were like, oh, I'm meeting up for coffees and stuff, and then this week it was like, I actually didn't have time though, but I gave her a big hug and just said good luck. But she's such a good egg, and Casty's playing so great. Yeah. She got player of the match last week. She's been training with us with Gloucester and she's such a baller, like so good. So looking forward to playing against them. It's always great playing against teammates, isn't it?
I actually love the fact that you guys in WXV3 will actually have like a final, that the ending that you guys will have will be more dramatic. It's all on the line, obviously with the promotion element as well. But just in terms of like progression and experience, like playing in a final is also so valuable, rather than just playing another game and seeing where it leaves you. I think stuff like that is massive in development of teams as well.
Yeah, 100%, definitely.
The irony is that in WXV2, it's the big battle is actually at the bottom end, because South Africa and Samoa in a massive scrap now. They drew just before WXV in a warm up game, and whoever finishes last there might drop down into WXV3, and that's the interchange that'll happen between these two tiers, which is why I think it's really compelling, this whole promotion relegation opportunity, and the fact that it's all up to play for at this stage is probably the most interesting innovation. And I'm loving the fact that as a user, I just got to watch the games. Like the other morning, I watched Mo's game on Rugby Pass TV on my phone. I didn't even get up for it. Like I was literally just lying there like this. And it's just spectacular to be able to stream it kind of from anywhere. It's free, it's accessible. Talk to me about the experience that you guys have had as viewers. Have you just been watching the other girls' games whenever you can?
Yeah, literally trying to, the time difference is making it really quite hard, because we're up early for training mobility. So like 11 o'clock kickoffs are actually really, you're kind of even for the men's World Cup, like we were like, right, we can only do 2 back-to-back nights of 11 o'clock because we're up so early. But we were watching France, New Zealand while we were getting prepped for game day. Like, I think I was pulling the head off a few girls while I was
platting
their hair. Yeah. But the laptop was out on the table, and there was, we didn't know where the screams were coming from, the hairdressers, or where they were coming from watching the game, because it was so exciting, that game particularly.
Mm. But, I do need to watch it. You know what it's like on game day? Well, I don't know what you were like, Skaz, but like, I'm like a sweaty mess, like walking around pacing. Triggy was like plaiting one of the girls' hair. She had it half done and she was like, right, I'm going to take a break. And Nevo Dowd was sitting at the table. So one side is like freshly plaited good, and then the other side's like really like, you know, wavy.
She's got ginger curly hair. That's just been brushed as well.
And like Triggy forgot she had to do the other side. So I could just see her sitting at the table, like one half
eating her cereal.
And then Triggy, I was like, you have to plait the other side of her head. And she was like, shit. Left to go do it. So I think it's been hard on game day because they're all on Friday, Saturday to like watch them consistently, and then but like tomorrow I might be able to catch up on a few.
Yeah, I feel like we're on constant catch up trying to keep in touch with all the rest of the games.
Basically, I think the lesson we all learned from this last weekend is that when the Black Ferns play England will have to wear their away kit, because someone needs to figure out how to get the Black Ferns playing in white again.
Yeah, we obviously did not work for them.
Yeah. Is that the difference?
I think
is
that there was a few people in the room that were just probably like, oh, go on France, go on, because Linda plays in France as well. There was a few French supporters.
Skaz, what did you make of that as a viewer, that experience of the France-New Zealand encounter?
Yeah, I loved it. I think obviously so much was spoken about in terms of the World Cup semi-final and the narrow loss that France had there, and then the narrow victory that they obviously had this time around. And you could just see, like, after the game, they were absolutely buzzing. And fair play, because going away and beating New Zealand in New Zealand is properly hard. It's not an easy thing to do, especially, you know, a year on from them winning the World Cup. So, yeah, I think it's awesome for France and French rugby that also is having a bit of a role at the moment. New people, new captain, all of that sort of stuff. So I think New Zealand will reflect on it, white shirt, black shirt, whatever, who cares? And they gave up a lot of ball. They had a lot of handling errors, which is quite unlike them. But yeah, cool start to the tournament.
Yeah, does set it up now for some really interesting intrigue. Now, if you don't know what we were on about the shirts, there's a bit of history here. I know a lot of people who are new to the women's game haven't been around as long as I have. But if you don't know about the 2007 Men's World Cup quarterfinals, you need to go watch the highlights of how France beat the All Blacks in that Men's Rugby World Cup. And the residual post-traumatic stress that men's rugby fans and All Blacks rugby fans have had about their team competing in important games in away kits. It was actually interesting. Kennedy Simon, the Black Ferns co-captain, said she's been playing for the Ferns since 2019 and she couldn't recall ever wearing anything other than black, which is a really interesting one, because I feel like I see the men's side in away kits like quite often. I mean, I know they absolutely hate playing in them, and I love the fact that in the men's final this weekend, I've heard that both will be in their traditional strip. But these things could probably have a bit of an impact psychologically if your country has a small amount of history, small, not massive. Are we going to talk about Six Nations? What is in it for you guys for the Six Nations and 2025? Sam, Adele, who wants to take this?
Well, I suppose the main aim is the first World Cup qualifiers is to aim for the three spot, finishing third. So that's probably what we're trying to chase. And that will be that is our goal for the Six Nations. That's the first controllable for the qualifiers and then into WXV2. But I think we've probably been focusing more on this tournament and qualifying, trying to get up into two. And we have spoke briefly about what it looks like going into the Six Nations.
Yeah, no, hit the nail on the head. I think we've just been concentrating on what's in front of us at the minute, and then we'll take on Six Nations and take it game by game. You know, they're all different challenges. And yeah. France away first, which is always a big one.
And then Twickenham.
And then we've three home games again. So like playing around the country, which is great for our fans. Like we're playing in Belfast, Dublin and Cork. So building the momentum around them games as well is really getting fans down and building a positive energy around the green jersey again.
So what we were saying earlier, win this tournament and take the learnings into Six Nations that we're going in there quite prepared and ready to go so that we can really actually have a right good crack at trying to finish top three.
Well, may this weekend bring you guys all of the opportunity to build that capacity. And I'm really excited to see where this experience kind of takes a lot of these new young players that you have under your collective wings. Thank you so much for making time for us. Stay out of the sun as much as you can.
Don't worry, we are.
You've got better time than I do.
I know you've got training that you need to run to, which is why we have to get you scooted out of the room that you're in right now and onto the bus. But thank you so much for your time. It was great catching up with you guys. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks,
guys. And best of luck to you for the weekend as well.
Get out of France.
can I get a prediction out of you for the Men's Rugby World Cup final before I let you go? Come on.
I do want to see a back-to-backer, like...
Don't give her that. Come on. Even if it's what you think, don't say it.
I'm saying South
Africa. Green team, go. Come on.
We'll buy each other a pint, whoever wins on Saturday night. You're South Africa, I'm New Zealand.
I hope Anna Kaplis is going to be singing a ukulele song if South Africa does win, because I'm here for all of her musical show off. And also, I know she was in Budgies at the Ireland game. I don't know if there's any chance of us getting her some South African branded merch, but I'm working on it with my people.
She'd love it.
She would, yeah. she'd meet up with you for a pint as well.
He's good crack, as you guys would say. Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, guys.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Okay, now that our Irish friends have logged off, can we just quickly have a moment for Mo running out in a number 9 shirt against Canada? This is a team who proved to be a very stern competition for England at the World Cup last year. How excited are we for this massive encounter?
Always super excited. I think obviously played them twice in the warm-up game, which feels a bit odd when you then play them again in kind of an official test as such. They'll have only got better, Canada. They had a really good win obviously over Wales at the weekend. Tough game for the most part and managed to pull away. But yeah, really excited for that game again. And it's another test. The squad's changed quite a lot, the England squad. So yeah, amazing opportunity to play some good opposition.
Some of the eagle eyes spotted Coach Mitch on the ground there in Wellington. He sat very far back in the back of the coach's box. We just saw Sunt sitting there like front and centre the whole time. Have you heard from him? Has he reached out?
Sunt was just scribbling notes the whole time, wasn't she? I thought, how studious
in that
new role. And I think she's just doodling, but awesome to see obviously John Mitchell out there now with the girls. I heard really good things, obviously, how he's fitted into the squad. He called me a couple of weeks ago, a week or so ago, just to check in, see how I was getting on, obviously, after the op and stuff. So, yeah, I think he's made a really great first impression on the girls in terms of just, you know, taking an interest, getting to know everybody. So, yeah, it'd be awesome to see how that progresses.
How are you getting on?
Emma, great. Just slowly building up, doing some bits in the gym, on the bike, going back to see the surgeon in a week or so just to have a follow-up x-ray and kind of get that ticked off from his point of view, and then, yeah, see what happens, really.
Good. I'm here for it. So round two, mark your diaries for this coming weekend. France play Australia on Saturday morning at 7. There's a Saturday 4 a.m. New Zealand versus Wales match. But the one we are definitely getting up for is England-Canada Friday morning, 7 a.m. UK time. ITVX shows all of the England and Wales games. S4C showing all of the Wales games too. The rest of it is streaming on Rugby Pass TV. And it's just been weird because there's just absolutely nothing happening on halftime, and we're just sitting on the WhatsApp group texting one another and like doom scrolling. So shall we just use that time between the halves this Friday morning to do a little Instagram Live, you and I, on the GSR account?
Let's do it. Let's see who else is up, see who else wants to contribute. Other people can jump on. It'll be, yeah, I think it'll be fun because that music came on at halftime, which was, let's be honest, not the sort of music anybody wants to listen to at halftime of a rugby game. And everyone just sits there on their phone. They're checking out what people are saying on Twitter. So let's do a little halftime show of our own. I love that.
Make sure that you come on down. If you're not following us on the gram yet, the Good, the Scars and the Rugby is here to be your friend for halftime. We just want to hang with you. So don't be shy. Come on down. Get into the comments section. Ask Scars all the questions. I'll think of some really direct, traditionally Alma ones. But don't be shy, because maybe you can outdo me. We also are going to use this as our opportunity to practice for our big live show. The Good, the Scars and the Rugby is doing a watch along in real life, in person, England, New Zealand. The tickets are on sale now. We know it's really, really, really early, that game. And we get that. But the early rose catches the fern, or something to that effect. It's my second language. I have excuses. And the breakfast is included in your ticket. So you will be fed and you will be entertained, because Scars is there. I unfortunately have to, because of bureaucracy, go back to South Africa to go apply for a passport, because I can't get this thing here where I am in Paris, and the kingdom won't let me in without it. So trust me, no one is crosser than I am right now. But I am going to be supporting from South Africa. And luckily, there's an upgrade waiting in the wings. Nick Heath, the person whose voice you hear first on the podcast version of the show, commentator extraordinaire, is going to stand in for me. So he's waiting in the wings. Scaz will be there. She's going to get up early and get herself down there. So get your tickets now. The link is in bio on all of our social media accounts if you haven't heard about it yet. And then before we go, I think just from a housekeeping perspective, can we just quickly have a moment for Worcester? It has transpired that, as it stands, the financial backing has fallen through, and they've been totally blindsided by this news, as have all of their fans, but also fans of Prem Women's Rugby in the UK. It's huge when this happens, because there's been so much work and preparation that's gone into this. We just want to acknowledge the really difficult time they've been going through. All of the Worcester girls have had a very, very tough year. And we are going to talk to one of them about this in a lot more detail in a piece that'll be coming out next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Have you got your outfit ready for the Instagram Live on Friday morning, Ooh. Scars? Or are we just doing this in pyjamas?
What a great question. It won't be pyjamas. No, that's not really my vibe. Last week, I actually watched the girls on the bike. So I was cycling for the first half. Maybe I won't do that this week, so I'm not in my lycra. I don't think that's what people need to be seeing. It's 7 a.m. No, I'll think about my outfit. Yeah, I think I'll give you some thought for you.
I only have what Richard packed me in Paris, which is this shirt and two others. So I'll do a little blind selection first thing in the morning. And I think we should negotiate with Shira about having you on the bike, because it just adds like a level of jeopardy to it. Like, while you're cycling in your Lycra shorts, being grilled and asked very tough questions by me and everyone else who's on the live. Sounds like a
win. I'll be very out of breath. Remember, I'm probably quite out of condition at the moment. So ability to exercise and talk is a toughie at the moment.
Well, you don't have to decode as you do it. So I'm sure you'll be fine. This is the Good, the Scars and the Rugby. And we can't wait to see you Friday morning at halftime in partnership with our friends from Vodafone. As usual, the Good, the Scars and the Rugby is a Folding Pocket production produced by Shira Kilgallen. Now go get on the bike.
Wallet! Okay, bye. Get on the bike. Honestly, I did.
You've been listening to The Good, The Scars and The Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
It is hot. You know, Mo actually said to me, she was like, I can't believe that heat is wasted on you Irish. I was like...